Text this morning, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven or the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, married and given in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me this morning? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, I was caught a little bit by the hymn that we just sang. Probably not something that we sing real often here. But I was wondering, even as I sang it earlier this morning, how often do we say that phrase in our lives? Other than singing it here in church or maybe repeating it in church, how often in our regular, common, normal lives, do we ever say to someone, Jesus saves? You see, we hold this wonderful news. We know what it is. We understand it. We glory in it most of the time. But we don't share it. We don't even say to people, Jesus saves. And you know, there are a lot of people not know it. They don't understand it. They may have never heard it. Jesus saves. Two very simple words. How often do we ever think to say those to people who need them so desperately? Friends, we asked the question this morning as I spoke with the children, what is Advent? My lectionary commentary describes it like this, if you'll take a moment just to listen to this paragraph. It says, Advent is an abrupt disruption in our ordinary time. It is not only a new season in the church year, it is an utterly new year, a new time, new life. Everything begins again. What one marks as new in the liturgical sequence, we dare to confess is a genuine newness wrought by God in the world. That is, liturgy anticipates historical newness and matches the newness that God is doing in the world. In this season, we are at the brink of something utterly new, long yearned for, but beyond our capacity to enact. Advent invites us to awaken from our numbed endurance and our domesticated expectations, to consider our life afresh and all the new gifts that God is about to give. Advent is not Christmas. Christmas is a celebration of the fact that Jesus came to earth. He was born, he became flesh, so that he could sacrifice his life for our sins. That is what we celebrate on Christmas. We commemorate the fact that it happened. It's a wonderful fact in our Christian lives. But that is Christmas. That is not Advent. We celebrate Advent. We celebrate the fact that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Not as a baby lying in a manger, but as a Savior to take us home. Not as a baby, but as a Savior to take us home. Advent is a time of renewal. It's a new year in the church. It's a new beginning for God's people. It's another opportunity to get it right. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that you didn't get it right before. But what I'm saying to you is, we all have a chance. We all have an opportunity, starting in Advent, to get it right. We have an opportunity beginning right now, at the beginning of a new church year, to say, you know what? I wasn't quite right last year. I didn't quite get there enough. I didn't quite do the things that I needed to do in my Christian faith. I didn't witness as I should. I didn't live my faith as I should. But right now, I have a chance to just put that all behind me and get it right. Last year's failures are forgotten. The possibilities are endless. We can get it right this time if we will keep one thought at the forefront of our minds. One thought. Jesus is coming. If you will wake up every morning and remind yourself that Jesus is coming, what a difference that will make in the way you live that day. If you would wake up every morning into the reality that Jesus is coming at any moment, if you would wake up every morning with the reality that you might not make it out your door before Jesus comes, that you might be driving down the road on the way to work when Jesus comes, that it could happen this very moment, if we could just harness that and live our lives in that presence to know, Jesus is coming. Do you know how different you would live? Do you know how different you would be? Do you know the urgency that you would feel in your Christian walk? It would just take that one little thing. Now, all of our lectionary scriptures for today are just screaming this back at us, not just the one that I read. If you look in Isaiah that you heard this morning read from Isaiah chapter 2, it speaks of that wonderful mountain of God. That wonderful mountain of God and everybody flowing to God's mountain to worship God. It's a picture of what things will look like in the millennium. It's a picture of what things will look like after Christ comes back. It's a picture of our future. One day, we will live our lives like that, flowing to the throne of God, worshiping God in God's kingdom. It's a wonderful picture that tells us Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. We also look today at I would take you just to one more scripture today if you look, and you don't have to turn, you can listen to Mike. Romans is our other lectionary text today, but it speaks to the same things if you listen. In Romans 13, starting in verse 11, it says this, and I will skip through a little bit. It says, besides this, you know the time, but the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And as we look further down, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Why should we wake up and walk properly? Why should we wake up and walk properly? Because Jesus is coming. Because Jesus is coming. Notice that the scripture does not dwell on the past. It doesn't matter what our shortcomings have been. It's a new beginning. It's a chance to get it right because Jesus is coming. Everything is new again every day. We have that opportunity every day in confession for everything to be new again. To come before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for all that has been wrong in my life, and I'm ready now to move forward. Everything is new. This is our God. This is the God of love we know. He always forgives. Every day is new and fresh. And as we start new, God forgives. God lets us move forward and gives us a chance to get it right, to do better, to be the church. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. You see, I wish that I could stand here and tell you exactly when Jesus is coming. That would make it easier, wouldn't it? If I could tell you exactly what time and what day, wouldn't that make it so much easier? We could plan for it. We could make sure we're on our best behavior. We could make sure we're in the right place. Maybe we'd all make sure we were on our knees. Okay? Maybe we'd all make sure we're in prayer. Maybe we would all make sure we were at the church that day. That would make it so much easier. But you see, that would require very little faith on our part if we knew exactly when it was going to happen. We can't just schedule Jesus in. We can't just schedule Jesus into our lives. There's a good reason why we don't know. Because when as human beings we know that we do plan for it, we do wait until the last moment to get ourselves right. We do live like we want to until we absolutely can have to change that. We can't schedule Jesus in. You see, that's the problem. Instead of making time for Jesus, our time should be filled with Jesus. Instead of us just scheduling time in for Jesus on Sunday morning, or scheduling time in for Jesus in our morning prayers, or scheduling a little bit of time in for Jesus in the evening before we go to bed, we shouldn't be scheduling time in, although I'm thankful if you're spending some time, believe me, don't get me wrong. But you see, scheduling time for Jesus is not the way to live. Our life should be filled with Jesus. All of our lives. Because if our lives were filled with Jesus, we would be telling people that Jesus saves. If our lives was filled with Jesus, if we didn't have other things on our minds and our hearts, if we didn't have other agendas always pressing on us, we would remember that when that person comes to us and they're crying, when that person holds out their hand because they have a need, when we see that person standing on the corner that is desperate, we might not hand them $20, but we might tell them that Jesus saves. We might at least give them that. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. The world viewed Noah as the world views the church today. Crazy old Noah, spending all this time building a boat, saying that rain is coming, that somehow water is going to fall from the sky. Come on, Noah. Enjoy the sunshine of life, Noah. Enjoy the parties. Enjoy the life you have. Enjoy all of this that's before you. Isn't it wonderful? Come on, Noah. Why are you wasting your time just because God said? Why are you wasting your time building a boat? It's going to rain. There's not a cloud in the sky. But suddenly, the sunshine was gone. They laughed at him. They mocked him the whole time. The whole time that he was building and loading up the ark. And then, the door closed. God sealed it. And the rain came. What God has decreed will come to pass. What God has decreed will come to pass. He said it would flood. He said that he would destroy the earth. Jesus tells us that he is coming. What God has decreed will come to pass. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. The advent of our Lord, it will happen in the twinkling of an eye, as fast as a heartbeat. There will be no warning. You will not have a chance then to utter the words to someone that Jesus is coming. There will not be that kind of time if that's what you're waiting for. If you're waiting to tell people right before he comes that he's coming, you will not have that opportunity. The world will be as busy as always. They will be laughing, they will be drinking, they will be celebrating, they will be marrying. They will be saying, hey, Christian, come and join us. Why are you wasting your time in church? Why are you wasting your time ministering to others? Why are you wasting your time caring about other people? Why are you wasting all your time? Look at this great world we have to live in. Look at all the wonder that we have. Look at all that we can enjoy. Hey, Christian, come and join us. You crazy Christians are wasting this good life. Then suddenly, Jesus will step out onto the clouds. All over this world there will be panic. Where have all the Christians gone? Where are they going? I don't plan to be in that panic. I hope you don't plan to be in that panic. We will be with the Lord. But there will be panic. There will be panic. See, this is what we celebrate. This is what Christians wait for. But what about those who will be left behind? It will be too late. Now is the time to warn them. Now is the time of God's grace. Now is the time to tell them about Jesus. Now is the time to bring them to church. What better opportunity could you have than a time such as this? What better opportunity could you have to invite people than this time of Advent leading up to Christmas? What more help do you need to ask somebody to church than you have right now? This is the time when the church is alive. This is the time when we are celebrating. This is the time when even the world is drawn to look and say, something happened. They may not believe it. They may not care for it. But they recognize it. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. This new beginning is a time for you to tell the people in your lives that Jesus saves. This is a time to tell them that Jesus is coming. Let them know that Jesus is coming. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. The advent of our Lord could take place at any moment. Jesus is coming. Somebody says to me, he'll be coming soon. I can't tell you that for sure. But what I do know is this. This is your opportunity. This is your time to tell people that Jesus saves. And to warn them that Jesus is coming.